Good morning, listeners. In this current series, we are exploring the Epistle of 1 John. In addition to introducing 1 John as a family letter written by a concerned pastor last week, I mentioned two of the purposes for which this epistle was written. The first is that believers to whom it was written might have and maintain fellowship with us. That is, the apostles and other first-hand witnesses of Jesus Christ, and more importantly, with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 and verse 3. The second reason was that these believers might have fullness of joy. Verse 4. Let us explore how the believer can maintain fellowship and, as a result, experience fullness of joy. This is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John 1 5 to 10. John states that God is light. He represents perfect moral purity, holiness, truth, and goodness. This is in contrast with sin, evil, and deception or darkness. As light, God reveals Himself as the source of life and salvation. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. St. John 1, 4-5. Light and darkness cannot coexist. They cannot occupy the same space. This means that it is impossible for sinful humans to have fellowship with a holy God. God's standard is total righteousness. This presents a dilemma. How can a completely righteous and holy God enter a shared partnership, an intimate communion with inherently sinful human beings? John is, of course, writing to believers, and therefore the path to fellowship with God has been provided through Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:1-2. John introduces some if statements. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It is impossible to have genuine fellowship with Him while remaining in a state of unrepented sin. Just like light and darkness are incompatible or mutually exclusive, so believers living in unrepented sin are completely out of fellowship with God, living a lie and not practicing the truth. There is no semi-fellowship. Being out of fellowship means a break in communion, a damaged relationship which needs urgent attention. Not practicing the truth means that even if a person knows the correct doctrine, their actions actively deny it. The truth, therefore, must be lived. It is possible to deceive other believers or even oneself but it is impossible to deceive God. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 7. Fellowship with God is maintained by walking in the light, living a life of holiness, abiding by God's standards. It is a way of life. The result will be genuine connection or fellowship with other believers and continual cleansing from all sin that ensures the maintenance of an unbroken relationship with God and one another. Sin or darkness, the antithesis to light, is the destroyer of fellowship with God and by extension with one another. It must be identified and dealt with decisively. John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Denying our inherent sinfulness and commission of individual sins is an act of self-deception and a rejection of God's truth. Since sin is a real issue, dealing with it is a solution to maintaining fellowship with God and with other believers. How are we to do that? The answer is confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his truth is not in us. Verse 9 and 10. When believers honestly admit their wrongdoings to God, that is to confess, he is reliably and justly obligated by his promises and the work of Jesus Christ to both pardon their sins and purify them from all unrighteousness, enabling restoration and fellowship which leads to fullness of joy. The promise of this verse highlights God's faithful character and the cleansing power of Jesus' sacrifice for those who turn to him with humility. If we confess our sins, this is a condition requiring genuine acknowledgement and agreement with God about our sins, rather than denial, excuse, or hiding them. He is faithful. God keeps his promises. He promised to forgive his people, and confessing activates that promise for believers. And just, it is just for God to forgive because Jesus already paid the penalty for your sin and my sin on the cross, fulfilling God's justice. So God is not overlooking sin, he is upholding the provision made through Christ. To forgive us our sins, God removes the guilt and penalty of sin as if it never happened. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, this goes beyond just forgiving. It means God actively removes the power and presence of sin, restoring purity and empowering believers to live righteously through the Holy Spirit and have unbroken fellowship with him and fullness of joy. I pray that you will have unbroken fellowship and joy as you lay hold of this promise. Next week, we'll continue exploring 1 John.